on the phone right now, joining us via the Digis Hotline. We got Casey Jacobson, who's our college basketball insider with the Pac-12 Network. Also, Fox Sports 1. Casey Jacobson, you're a man. You're in touch with your emotions. I've talked to you before. I feel like I know you. How often do you cry a year, do you think?
I'd say I bring the average down probably. I'd say 4 or 5 good cries a year. But, Keith, I have 3 daughters and a wife at home. I have enough crying in my life. Got to stay away from that.
Okay, when you do cry, do you get your money's worth? Is it a nice, healthy cry, or is it pretty quick?
No, it's pretty quick and painless, and I make sure no one sees. I wipe up the tears, and I'm on my way.
All right, Casey Jacobson, thanks for being on the show, man. I appreciate it. Let's talk basketball, man. First of all, Arizona coming off that loss versus Oregon State, I was quite shocked by that one.
Oh, yeah, you and everybody in the entire country. So I did an Oregon State game just 2 days before that game for Fox Sports 1, a game in which they played Arizona State. And Oregon State took everything away from Arizona State. They came in. The Sun Devils were one of the best three-point shooting teams in the Pac-12. I think they only made 4 total, and they shot over 20 for the game. They turned Arizona State's backcourt over. It was just – so Wayne Tinkle takes over for Craig Robinson. They only dress – Keith, they only dress 8 scholarship players. They have 6 walk-ons. What he has done is truly remarkable, and I'm not being overdramatic. It really is truly remarkable the way they've changed – that program around so quickly and done it with a defensive identity overnight. And that win against Arizona, beyond shocking, but they're playing defense first. And, you know, Gary Payton II is one of the better guards in the Pac-12.
Do you think that Arizona overlooked Oregon State? Is Oregon State that good?
Yeah, that's the only explanation that I can have. Arizona is twice as good as Oregon State is on the basketball court. But, you know, that's why they play the game. And, you know, Keith, I'm seeing a trend in college basketball. We saw just this past weekend, Duke, they lost to NC State. Wisconsin loses to Rutgers. Kentucky had 2 overtime games their weekend, double overtime against Texas A&M, which they barely squeaked out. So, you know, the moral of that story is you can't afford in college basketball today to overlook anybody, because on a given night, if you play your system, if you play defense the way you're capable of playing, you can take away team strengths and have a chance to win.
On the phone, we've got Casey Jacobson. He's our college basketball insider with the Pac-12 Network, also Fox Sports. So you got to see Arizona State up close and personal versus Oregon State. Of course, Utah plays Arizona State this coming Thursday. Tell me about that team.
They're a team that is still searching for a lot of answers, Keith. Herb Sendek has several transfers. Their starting point guard is Jerry Blakes, and he's only been playing the point guard position for about 3 games or so. He's been a shooting guard his entire life. But because Trey Holder, their freshman point guard, he couldn't get the job done earlier in the year, they went to another freshman, Cody Justice, in the backcourt, but neither one were consistent enough. So their backcourt is you know, just – it's a mess. And so they have a hard time initiating offense because their best shooter is the one that's usually passing the ball and entering the offense. Now, they are very strong on the three-point line, especially off the bench. They bring in John Gilling and Bo Barnes, their 6th and 7th man, who are by far their best three-point shooters. And when those guys come in the game, they run plays for them to get them open because they really don't have a post presence other than Eric Jacobson. He is not related to me, although he can ball. So if you're a Jacobson, you can ball for sure. That's just a given. So, they try to go into Eric Jacobson as much as they can, but he's a little bit raw and not a very polished back-to-the-basket player. I expect Utah to handle them well if they are motivated.
I think Utah will be motivated against this Arizona State team. Utah is absolutely turning it on. Since we last talked, Utah played Colorado right there at the Huntsman Center and beat Colorado like they weren't even there. It is astonishing to see the way Utah has been able to crank it down on defense.
Oh, Utah is turning into one of my best team or my favorite team to watch on TV. They basically have everything that you need of a basketball team to be successful. This year they're playing even better defense than they were last year. They're the 11th best defensive team in the nation when it comes to field goal percentage. They hold teams to 36%. They have a go-to star and a playmaker in DeLon Wright. They got solid perimeter shooting, which, you know, Keith, I love three-point shots, and Utah has been killing it from beyond the arc. Brandon Taylor and Jordan Loveridge lead them there. But, you know, we already talked about Arizona State. Utah better hammer Arizona State. I'm looking forward to the game against Arizona to see what kind of test that's going to be for this Utes team. Because last year, Keith, the problem with Utah, they only won two games on the road in the Pac-12 all season. So the question for me is still, can they win on the road?
And I think it lines up nicely for them. So if I'm Utah and I'm going to Arizona to play two games, I'd want to play Arizona State first and then Arizona. Would you agree with that?
Well, to me, it really doesn't matter. Like, who cares? So the Arizona State game, you could say it could be a warm-up game. But, no, I want to play the best teams right now when I'm healthy. If you wait until the second game, what if someone gets hurt or someone, you know, maybe you're more tired on the second game of a of the weekend? To me, actually, I'd prefer to play them the first game.
Casey Jacobson, question for you. UCLA got the crud beat out of them by BYU a week ago Sunday by 30 points. We talked about that. It was just they got all these players, and in my opinion, it was like, oh, this is going to be just a train wreck of a season. They come back, and they win those next two games at Pauley Pavilion, including beating Stanford. Did that surprise you? Because it sure shocked me.
Yeah, it did surprise me, but it shows me a little bit about UCLA, that they do have some toughness, that they do have some heart and pride. Now, I did that their latest game for Fox Sports 1, Cal at UCLA, just a couple of nights ago. But you talked about the game before that. I think, Keith, and I don't want to be overdramatic, I think that double overtime win against Stanford at Pauley Pavilion saved their season. They came into that game losing five in a row. Can you imagine? They lose that game to Stanford. Their six loss in a row. It would start 0-3 in Pac-12, and maybe all is lost for the year. Instead, they find a way to pull out that game. Kevon Looney, their monster freshman, has 27 points and 19 boards, and really carried them in that second half. But they win that game. Then they play a terrible Cal team, who's just not. They're not playing at all with any effort on either end of the floor. So now UCLA is 2-2 back in the Pac-12 race, and it's just a totally different team, a different feeling, a different confidence level.
Yeah, they'll be fun to watch. Now, we talked about Washington, Casey, early in the season. They started off 11-0. We didn't know if we were believers. It was like, well, they're winning games. They keep getting it done, and lo and behold, they've lost their last four games in a row.
Yeah, and Lorenzo Romar has got to be very frustrated with his young men. And this is not the same team that we saw in the non-conference. But, you know, I don't really want to get into the specifics of Washington. They're really struggling on every single level right now. But I do want to use that as an example of how different it is, Keith, to go into conference and win in conference. It's just a different animal. Every team, every coach knows the tendencies, because they're used to playing against you every single year. You know, just like Kentucky is a great example. They rolled over everybody in the non-conference. They get into the SEC play, and the SEC is one of the worst conferences in the country, in my opinion. It's certainly one of the worst in the power conferences. And Kentucky's having to squeak out wins. Why is that? Because teams play against you. They're not afraid of Kentucky. They play against Kentucky every single year. They're not intimidated, and that's kind of what's happening with Washington. Yeah, they came in to the Pac-12 season ranked in the top 20, were a surprise team, but those Pac-12 teams don't care. They know exactly what kind of team Washington is.
Well, what's a bigger shock to you, Casey, as far as the Pac-12? Is it how well Oregon State's doing or how poorly UCLA has been doing?
Oh, there's no question it's Oregon State is the bigger surprise. I mean, I already touched on it a little bit. Look, you only have eight scholarship guys. And let me say, and I mean no disrespect to any of these Oregon State guys, a lot of those eight scholarship guys, Wayne Tinkle probably would have never offered a scholarship too. So, you know, Gary Payton II is having himself a great year. He's one of the best steals guy, one of the best defensive backcourt players in the country. But just like Arizona State, Oregon State is starting a point guard. His name is Malcolm Duvivier, who had never played the position before. Last year, he was backing up Roberto Nelson, who was their shooting guard. So this is a backup shooting guard who's now starting at point guard for Oregon State. They should not be winning games.
Oregon State's 11-4 right now, 2-1 in the Pac-12. Utah now ranked number 8 in the country, Arizona number 10. Who would have thought they would have been that way? Big matchup. So what are your expectations for this game? Can Utah go on the road and get it done in Tucson, Casey?
Man, I hope so, okay? And, you know, as an analyst, I'm not necessarily supposed to be a fan. I want this game to be close. I think it's more important for Utah to play well, for Utah to get a win, than for Arizona. I just believe that I'm not doubting Utah's confidence level. All right, they're a top 10 program, and they should be ranked in the top 10. But it's quite another to go into an opposing team's arena, Tucson, Arizona, Arizona Wildcats, and beat another top 10 program on the road. That is, like, to me, it is the cherry on top of this Utah Sunday that they're building. I know we still have a lot of conference basketball to play, but I just think it would be a huge win for Utah if they can get it done. But if I had to predict, Keith, they don't. Arizona's just coming off of a loss. They're going to be highly motivated, and they're very good at home.
Yeah, Arizona plays this coming Thursday night, I believe, against Colorado, and then, of course, Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock against Utah. Once again, this Utah team is very confident. But the two losses that Utah has are against good teams, San Diego State on the road, also Kansas on the road. So playing really good teams on the road is not easy. Now, Utah did beat UNLV, Casey, and UNLV is turning out to be a better team, I think, than most people expect.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that UNLV game is going to be the the NCAA tournament resume builder win. They're okay, and when Utah played them, they were starting to improve and looking better. So, you know, maybe in the Mountain West, UNLV will make a run, but I still, you know, you mentioned their losses on the road to very quality opponents. Let's give them some credit for being in those games. But, Keith, last time I checked, almost isn't good enough for a top 10 program. They need a marquee win on the road. They need to close out a game. I'd like to see them do that.
Casey Jacobson, what are you covering this week? What you got brewing?
Oh, man, I got the Gonzaga Bulldogs are coming to town to play the Pepperdine Waves, and I'm calling that game on Thursday for Time Warner Sports Net. And then on Saturday, I also have another WCC game, and I can't even remember what it is right now because I'm only trying to keep up one day at a time, Keith, man. One day at a time, bud.
Pepperdine was able to come down to they came to BYU, and they beat BYU last week.
They did a huge win, probably the biggest win in head coach Marty Wilson's career at Pepperdine. He's been there for 4 years. They have a player, Stacey Davis, who's a monster. He's like a 6'8", undersized foreman who can take guys out on the perimeter. They shut down BYU. Big win. Let's see if they can do it against the Zags at home.
Before I let you go, Casey, one more question with regards to Phoenix and the NBA. They're right now, if it all ended today, they would be an 8 seed. They have enough gas in the tank to be able to make it through the end of this season and make it to the playoffs?
I do not believe they're going to have enough gas in the tank. I know right now they're in the 8 seed, but they're looking over their shoulder, and who do they see but Oklahoma City Thunder? It's just a matter of time before Westbrook and Durant and Ibaka and company get that train rolling down the tracks.
Casey Jacobson, thanks so much for being on the show. I appreciate it. He joins us every Tuesday. He's our college basketball insider for the Pac-12 Network, also Fox Sports. A very busy man. Thanks, Casey. Have a great day, man.
Thank you, Keith. See you next week, man.
All right, there you go. That's Casey Jacobson. Always a pleasure to have him on the show.